Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our weekly worship podcast. This is the ninth week that we have not been able to be together in worship. And I know you are like I am, and you can't wait for us to be in worship together. We're tentatively planning on trying to put a worship experience together in the sanctuary on Sunday, June the 7th. But we will have to behave ourselves and do all of the socially distancing and other responsible things in order for us to be able to do that. Do you think we can? I hope so. I need to update you a little bit. On Wednesday, I brought you the sad news that Judy Hopper has passed away after being ill for some time. The graveside will be a private service this next week, but when we can get together a little bit later, we will come together as a church family and have a celebration of life service in memory of Judy Hopper, because you know the Hoppers have been in our church family. I'm pretty sure it's over half a century. So keep Jim and all of his family in prayers during this time. I would invite you at this time to spend just a few moments in preparation for coming to worship together.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. To the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise is a king. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease. To the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
We will begin our worship today with a responsive call to worship, and your response will be, "We are never alone." Because of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, we gather to declare, "We are never alone." the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, lives in us. We are never alone. Bidden or unbidden, God is always with us. As the sea is to the fish and the air is to the bird, so God is to all. Bidden or unbidden, God is always with us. We are never alone. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy power of life, you promise to never leave us comfortless. Because you are at work through the Advocate, your Spirit, we know your full desire is for us to know abundant life. Thank you for the assurance of your love. As we walk from day to day, reveal yourself to us, even as we work to keep your command to love you and to love one another. We continue to pray by lifting up the concerns we each have on our hearts. We lift up Jim Hopper and his family and Jane Moore. We lift up all of those who are particularly struggling in this difficult time. We lift up our nation's leaders and state's leaders and local leaders that they may be guided by wisdom. We lift up all of those working in the health community, all of those doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals. We are lifting up all of those who are working and all of those who have lost their livelihoods. Oh God, we lift them to you in prayer, and we continue to pray to you in the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember how we've been talking about how worship is the activity of giving and receiving gifts within the community of the church. I read recently a story about how one person in the middle of the COVID virus, that one person decided to donate his stimulus check to help pay the bills of 12 people who were behind in their utility payments. Without knowing their names or situations, the donor simply asked the utilities company staff person to find people who were struggling because of COVID. Furloughed or laid off, faced with big medical bills, their family business in trouble. The donor declared, "I may suffer down the line, but if so, I know I will be suffering for doing good." We have been asked to bring our gifts. As we bring our tithes and gifts to God, what signs of hope are you able to share with your offering this day? I encourage you to do like Mary Louise and I are doing now. We're giving online, or maybe send your check into the church, or drop it by. But give us a call. Make sure someone is here before you drop by. But giving our gifts back is a part of who we are. Mighty God, receive these gifts as signs and symbols of the hope you have lodged within each of us. Help each one of us to consider how we might continue to share that hope with those who are suffering at this time. Encourage us to raise up hope in others by the actions of our hearts, our heads, especially through sharing our financial resources. Amen. As we bring our gifts to God, gifts have been given to us in worship. Friends, when we come to this table, we're personally invited by Jesus the Christ. And as we come around the communion table together, these gifts of bread and cup, we recognize Jesus revealed to each one of us. So come. Not because you're under coercion, but because you're eager to keep Jesus' commandments, that commandment to love, and at the same time to abide in His love and be loved by God and by the one who promises, I will not leave you orphaned. What more celebration could we share? It's a love feast, and we are all invited. On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom He loved so dearly. After the meal, He took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was His body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, He took the cup, the prophet's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, He passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with His sacrifice. We come after those first followers celebrating His words, "This do in remembrance of me." O God, bless this holy meal to our spiritual lives and us to Your service for Christ's sake. Amen.
In remembrance of me, pray for
Our scripture reading for today comes from the lectionary gospel, John 14:15-21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Question. Do you believe that there is a spiritual nature to life? You have to admit that is about the primary question of faith, isn't it? Stephen Hawking, and I've been reading one of his books recently. Stephen Hawking was a cosmologist, theoretical physicist, had one of the biggest brains of our time, an absolutely brilliant thinker. And he wrote a little book about, he answered 10 great questions. And one of them was the question of God. Stephen Hawking was an atheist. He said, religion is based on authority, and science, which is based on reason and observation, is much better. Then he wrote, it is my view that the simplest explanation is that there is no God. So wait a minute, let me get this straight. Hawking believed that creation began with an infinitely small point exploding by itself, and the result was the universe. I just can't accept that simple explanation. Do you see where Hawking was wrong? And he was right in so many things. He has rewritten physics in many ways. But he was wrong when he said that religion is based on authority. No. Religion is based on a relationship. Yes, there is a spiritual nature to the universe. And the knowledge of that relationship is built upon faith. Can you prove it empirically? No. No more than you can disprove it empirically. It is what we call an article of faith. The first article of faith. We are not alone, as the responsive reading went this morning. And the nature of that relationship, we read over and over and over and over again in the New Testament. The nature of that relationship is love. Jesus told them, if you love me, do what I say, which is to love each other. And as a result of them loving Jesus and each other, Jesus told them he would send them a personal relationship with God. That he sent could be described as the advocate or the counselor or the Holy Spirit. That he would send them this relationship, and that relationship would never leave them lonely. You'll know it because he abides with you. And when you pray and seek God's presence, you will not be disappointed. When you face a tough task, an almost impossible challenge, you will never have to face it alone. Then Jesus told them, "Because I live, you also will live." Now, eternal life, I don't believe, begins in the future, in the great by and by, when we get aboard the train to glory and head to heaven. No, I don't believe eternal life begins then. I believe that eternal life is a quality of life that begins, well, right now. It is the quality of life that comes with knowing that nothing can separate you from God's love, as Paul put it. Jesus told them, "Those who love me will be loved by my Father." What about everybody else? What about all of those who have never heard of Jesus, who are perhaps practice another religion? What about everybody else? Paul understood it this way. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Does that mean that I'm a universalist, that everybody's going to get to heaven? I don't know. But I do believe that God's love can conquer anything. And to me, that means that God's love, God's capacity to love and reconcile, is greater than our capacity to mess everything up. How will that work itself out in the eternal life to come? I don't know, but I can't wait to find out. Do you believe that there is a spiritual nature to life? The question that we each must ask and answer is, do I believe that there is a spiritual nature to life? You betcha. Amen.